In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the Gospel of the Annunciation to Annunciation to Zechariah of the birth of St. John the Baptist. And this is the Gospel of the first week of Kiak, which starts today. And there's 4 weeks in which we read each part a part of the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter. We read the whole thing in the 4 weeks. So this is the first part. And today's Gospel actually gives us hope for those of us who believe when we pray, our prayers aren't heard. Sometimes we feel like we pray and God's not hearing our prayers, He's not answering our prayers. And today's Gospel kind of shed some light on this particular topic. The angel Gabriel, when he came to Zacharias, first thing he said to him, he said, "Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard." And immediately he told them that his son would, or he would bear a son and call him John. Now his prayer was heard, but prior to that, it said that they were well advanced in years, Zachariah and Elizabeth. I would probably doubt that they're still praying for a son when they were, 80 or 90 years old. That was probably maybe something they prayed about back when they were recently married. But I think when they're 80 or 90, I don't think you're praying for children anymore. But he still said your prayer has been heard. So many of us feel like our prayers go unheard. Although Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing, and also the Lord Jesus Christ set a beautiful example of how we should pray. In Luke chapter 18, he says, "Then he," meaning Jesus, "spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." And then he began to tell them the parable of the persistent servant who went to a king and asked for that he intervene get justice for her from her adversary. And the king didn't regard man nor God nor anybody, but because of she kept bugging him and kept persisting that he help, he said that I'm just going to intervene and help her just so she gets off my back and I give her what she wants. So our Lord said that we ought to pray always, and then followed it by this parable. So he's telling us that when we pray, we should annoy him. We should just pray and ask him and keep pleading with him. Until he grants us what we would like. And this is the relationship that he wants with us. He wants us to beg and plead from him and be very persistent in our prayers. And some of us believe that we'll pray, for something very simply or for a very short period of time, and we get caught up in other things that, we might say could replace prayer. Maybe it's service. We get too occupied with the service in the church. Or we dispense different, all of the energies we get. But there's nothing that we can do in our life that's going to replace prayer, because prayer is our connection with God. And if we try to substitute that with anything else, we really have no relationship. So why is prayer important? Just three simple reasons. The first is that when we pray to God, we are confessing our own inability. We're praying to Him because we need His help. I can't do this on my own, so I need your help. So it's expressing our inability and our need for God. The second is we declare His power and being able to grant us our requests. And that's why all things are possible through God, or through Christ who strengthens me. So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we have to ask. And when we ask, we imply that He can give us. It's like you don't go to your younger brother, who's like 5 years old, and ask him for $100. He doesn't have anything. But you go to their parents because your parents, will be able to give you that. So we go to God asking for Him, knowing that He can give us what we request. The third is that we invite God into the process of our life. We involve God in our life. The psalmist says a beautiful verse in Psalm 127. He says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who have built it have labored in vain." So unless we invite God or invite Christ into our life in our everyday actions and involve him in this prayer, then we labor in vain. Because, you know, there's no reward, we have no reason why we're doing things, but when we invite him in, we do it for his sake and for the glory of his name. So this is why we should pray, because we confess our inability, we declare his power and ability to grant us our requests, and three, to invite him in the process of our life. But how does God answer? God answers in usually three ways. The first way he answers, he says no. He just blatantly says, we ask him for something, and he says, no, I'm not going to give it to you. And St. James, the apostle, enlightens us a little bit in chapter 4. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure? That war in your members, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and do not obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And then the next part's the important part. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on pleasures. So when we ask God for things that I want just to enjoy, the pleasures of the world, ask God to give me, you know, a big house, a career that I can make millions. I want my investment in the stock market to be doubled this year, you know, or for whatever reason. When you ask for things that are for your own pleasure, God will sometimes say no. He might sometimes say yes, but usually he'll say no if the desire is just to fulfill my own desire. Or if it's out of selfishness, if I want to excel in anything for my own personal benefit. We're here as brothers and sisters in Christ in one church, and we're here to support and encourage one another. So when I separate myself through selfishness, God will most probably say no, because what I give you, I want you to share with your brethren. And also, sometimes we might ask for things that might hurt us in the end. That's just like, you know, if you have a child, a young child, and he wants to go and play with a knife or whatever, of course you're going to say absolutely not, because you know he can hurt himself. Or even I remember when I was a young boy, I would always ask my parents if I can go spend the night at a friend's house or something like that, and they always told me no. And at the time, I always told them, oh, you're not fair, this and that. But as I grew older, I realized the wisdom that was behind it, because we don't know, the houses that you might be entering in. So I appreciated that. So the lesson the lesson we should learn is that when we pray, we should pray that his will be done. That when we ask for things, we ask that it is according to your will. And St. John tells us in his first letter, chapter 5, he says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So sometimes God says no, but when we ask, we should be asking for his will to be done and not ours. And we know when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, thy will be done on earth as what? As it is in heaven. So when we pray, we're not asking God, or we're not getting our will to be obeyed in heaven. We're not saying, God, I want my will to be obeyed in heaven, but rather his will to be obeyed on earth. We're asking that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we know, in heaven, God's will is done without any question, without any regard, without anything. The Lord said, go. The angel Gabriel, go announce to Zechariah that he's going to have a son. The angel Gabriel didn't say, are you sure, God? No, he didn't say that. He just went and told him, although he was in advanced in years. So we're asking for God's will to be done on earth. The second way that sometimes God responds, he says, wait. So the first one, he says, no, I'm not going to answer your prayer. The second one, he answers and he says, wait, the time is not the right time yet. And this, we hear the example of in today's gospel. When The angel told them, "Fear not, Zechariah, your prayer was heard." And again, like we said, I don't think Zechariah was praying for a child at this time. He was probably praying for it, you know, 30, 40 years ago. So when he finally answered his prayer, Zechariah remembered what he was praying about long ago, and that God still remembered what he was praying for a long time ago, and he still gave him the child that he requested. So when Zechariah initially was praying, God's answer was, wait, it's not the right time yet. And we might ask ourselves, okay, what's the wisdom, or why does God want us to wait? Why does he want us to wait? If you think about it, if God would have answered Zechariah's prayers in his youth and gave him a son, would it have meant the same as if he would have given it to him when he was aged? Probably not. If he gave it to his gave him a son when he was a youth, it wouldn't have been much of a miracle, because this is the common thing. But now that it's given to them when they're well advanced in years, it's more of a miracle. So the glory of God is shown. So God displays his glory when he says, wait. And also the same happened with our father Abraham and Sarah. When they asked for a son, God waited until they were well advanced in years to give them Isaac. Maybe had they, you know, he given them Isaac when they were young, they would have said, you know, okay, we would have, you know, might have another child. If God wants us to sacrifice Isaac, then maybe we'll have another child. So it wouldn't have been, Isaac wouldn't have been as valuable to them as the one they had bore in their old age. And also Lazarus. If we notice, when our Lord went to go raise Lazarus from the dead, the servants came and told the Lord Jesus that your friend, the brother of your friend, is Lazarus, is sick, and is sick to death. So he's going to die. And the Bible explicitly tells us that he actually waited 2 days before going. So he wanted to be sure, not that he was just sick, but that he died. And then by the time the Lord got there, it said he was dead for 4 days already. So again, you know, this is something like, this is death, where there's, when you look at it, there's really no return. But God still said, wait, and when I come, you'll see the glory of God. So God sometimes, when he asks us to wait, he wants to display his glory in our life. And also the second reason is he wants to dispense unto us his grace. He wants us to, he wants to give us what we don't even think, or what we don't deserve. You know, if we look at the story of today, he gave Elizabeth, he removed her reproach. Any woman in the Old Testament who didn't bear any children, she doesn't have any hope that the Messiah will come from her lineage, so it was considered as a curse. So today, in answering their prayers, God lifted the curse from Elizabeth and gave her a son. And if we think about it too, they asked for a son in their young age, but what did they get in their old age? They got a son, yes, but they got more than a son. They got a prophet. Not only a prophet, they got the forerunner who was coming to pave the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So he dispensed unto them his grace, multiplied 100-fold from what they were initially asking. So sometimes God says no, sometimes God says wait, and then sometimes God says watch this. This is like what I just said about how God gives us more than we can even ask or think of. So he didn't ask for a prophet, or he asked for a son, but God gave him a prophet. In Psalm 84, the psalmist says, "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." So anybody, all of us who walk uprightly, God is a giving God. He doesn't want to withhold from us anything. He wants to give us. He's a giving God. And he wants to give without anything in return. But he wants to give those who walk uprightly. He wants to reward the our positive spiritual behaviors. So he answers when we pray, he might answer us by saying no. He might answer us by saying wait. And he might answer us by saying, watch this, watch what I will do with your prayer. So we are called today, the message of today is that we are to always pray without ceasing. knowing that our prayers are heard and will be answered according to His divine will and providence. We can't stop praying once we get what we want. We have to keep praying. And many of us, you know, even if God gives us something, there's always the next thing on the list that we're praying for. The list is never finished when it comes to requests from God, which is a good thing. So we need to always keep praying and not lose heart. And finally, we must not forget to offer Him thanks. And our Lord Jesus Christ expressed how much He appreciated those who came to offer thanks when He went and healed 10 lepers, and they all went joyfully away and proclaiming, you know, that they were healed and, you know, had a jolly time. But only one person came back, who was the Samaritan, to thank Him. And then God said, the Lord Jesus said, didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? And then He blessed the man for coming back and offering thanks. So let's not forget, once we receive God's grace and His blessings, let's not forget to give Him thanks and acknowledge that what He has given us was from His hands and not our own. May God grant us a life of continued prayer and belief in Him and waiting on Him to answer our prayers in due season according to His blessed will. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.